Hello, everybody. It's good to see you. I hope you're doing well on this wonderful summer day that's outside. No, it's not. It's going to be cold. Anybody ready for snow? Who likes snow? Who really likes snow? You got problems, you guys. There's something wrong with you. No. Snow is coming, so get ready for that. Let's open up in prayer today, and I want to share what God put on my heart for us here today. Father, thank you, Lord God. Father, thank you for such a wonderful presence in our worship today, God. And even in those encouraging words by Pastor Teresa, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for how good you are. Thank you that you know what we need, God, when we need it, Lord Jesus. Father, you know where we are, God. You know what we're going through, God. And I believe, God, always, God, you have that word in season, God, to touch our hearts, Lord Jesus, to grow us, to stabilize us, to assure us, God, that you are here, Lord Jesus. We are never without you. So, God, today, God, as your word goes forth, God, I pray, God, that it's from your heart, maybe my lips, but it's your heart, Lord Jesus, that shows us, God, about faith, especially in these times, God, when all the world seems to be crumbling outside, Lord Jesus. Father, you look at those who have faith, God, who stand in faith, Lord God, in such crazy times, Lord Jesus. So, God, today, just touch us. Help our faith today, God. Help us to see you. Help us, the Holy Spirit. Help us to understand you today, maybe, in a more deep way, Lord God. But, Father, when we walk out of this place today, God, let there be something different in us, God, that we would know that we have been with you, Lord Jesus. So, God, I thank you. Open up our ears, our hearts, God. Holy Spirit, help us receive and understand your word, Lord God. And, Father, thank you, God. Show us, God, even as I speak, God, those things you want us to keep inside of our heart, Lord God. Those things you want us to hold on to, God, and grow inside of each and every one of our hearts, including me, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you, God, for what you are about to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. Anybody here ever feel really, really weak at all? Emotionally, spiritually feel weak? Not everybody. Everybody feels wonderfully strong all the time. No, of course, sometimes we feel really weak sometimes. And sometimes we feel like, you know, God, what's going on? And I know God is there. He's always there. But I think in these days, when we see what's going on in the news and all over the world, never before, I believe in with all my heart, have God's people have to have faith. Just faith. Trust in God. Absolute reliance in God. Things are going to get worse out there. We know that. As Pastor Teresa spoke about, some things coming down the pike as far as maybe persecution and some other things going on. We need faith. We need faith. In Luke chapter 17, when Jesus was speaking about loving your enemies, and he was speaking about forgiving, which was hard at the time for his apostles to hear, the response his apostles had, they came to say, Lord, help our faith. If we're going to live, God, how you want us to live, God, if you're setting the standard for us, then you know what? Help our faith, God. Increase my faith, Lord God. And it's the same thing today. Lord, help our faith, Lord God. Help us to be so secure in our faith, God. Not perfect, but secure in faith, God, that no matter what comes our way, Lord God, we'll be able to stand and trust you and keep our eyes upon you, Lord God, no matter what the conditions may be, no matter what the circumstances of our life may be, God, that we're going to trust you, believe you, God, and through your help, Holy Spirit, stand in faith. Just to stand in faith. And I want to share today just a simple message. You probably heard it 1,000 times before, but I just want to share a simple message on when does faith become faith? When does our faith, when does our profession of faith become faith? I know a lot of people who say they have faith, and they've been telling me for years they have great faith, and come a trial, come a crisis, sometimes they just crumble and panic and run and leave church and leave marriages and leave situations, and it doesn't look like they have great faith. So I believe faith becomes faith when you live it out. You know, faith becomes faith when what you profess, what you believe God is doing in you, now you live it out in your conduct, how you respond to situations, how you choose to live your life. That it shows whether or not we have faith, whether we really trust God. I don't think it's faith when it's just inside and you're not living it out. I think sometimes it's just words, and maybe God may be doing something spiritually and building us. But we see it when you act, when you do something based on what you believe, based on your faith. And I just want to share some points from a story that you know so well. When we speak about faith, we have to go to this guy named Abraham. Everybody remember Abraham? Abraham? Go to Genesis chapter 22. Let's go there today. And talk about when faith becomes faith. God was building something in Abraham. He became the father of our faith, but he wasn't a perfect guy. He didn't start out as this perfect, wonderful man of faith. No, he had some failures. He had some testing that he didn't come through too well. He did some great things, absolutely. But God was working something in him, something deep. Because God wanted to so use him to be that father of faith, to bless generations that come after him. So what was God going to do? Well, one thing God had to do was prove this man's faith, to work in this man's faith. And in Genesis chapter 22, let's read a little bit of that right in verse 1. Follow along as I read. The word of God says, now, it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains on which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took it in his hand, the fire and the knife, so the two of them walked together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he says, here I am, my son. And he says, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, well, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked together. And then they came to the place that God had told them. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called from heaven and says, Abraham, Abraham. And he says, here I am. And he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up as a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. And then the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand on which the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Amen. What a powerful message. What a powerful word. That really happened. It's not just a figure of story. That really happened. And I was looking at that and reading that, and says, what a story about the building of faith. The building of faith. Right off the bat, the first thing in verse 1, God says, God tested Abraham. He tested Abraham. I know you know this, but I want to reassure you with this. Sometimes your faith's going to be tested. God's got to test that faith to see how will you respond to what God says. How will you live? What decisions will you make? How will you respond when things happen in your life? God is saying, I've got to test that faith. And sometimes what God does, he sends a hard situation or allows a hard situation not to hurt you, not to defeat you, to test that faith, to show you sometimes what is in our heart, to show you that he's there for us, to show you that every word, every promise is true. And what will we depend on in that time of testing? We all will be tested all the time. We'll be tested. If you have not yet been tested, you will be. And I'm sure many of us have been tested already in different things. God tests Abraham. And sometimes what he does, he sends or he uses a hard place sometimes. And sometimes, you know what, I'd rather not have the hard places. I'd rather sit on my easy chair by my fire and eat marshmallows and eat bonbons. That's what I'd rather do. But sometimes we have hard testings that come out. And sometimes the reason for that is God wants to maybe just show, well, he kind of knows, maybe show us, where are we? What do we really believe? What are we willing to step out on? How is God building that faith in us? What are we learning? Are we willing to step out on those things and to stand because we have faith? And sometimes what God does is that faith is worked out, not just in reasoning, but it's worked out in a living obedience to God that shows our faith, that develops our faith, that works out our faith. Peter said, there's going to be a proof of your faith in 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me turn there. 1 Peter chapter 1, right in verse 7, the Word of God says, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, Pastor Teresa spoke about that, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is in that testing. He's there. He's not abandoned you. He hasn't left you. He loves you. He's not meant to destroy you, to knock you out, to step on you, but to build something in you. Because he's doing something at the end of this test. He was really wanting to make Abraham that father of many nations, to bless many nations. But before he got to that point, I got to test that faith. And I think God was after something in Abraham, just like he is in us when we have those tests of faith. And I believe with all my heart, one of the things that he's after is in Abraham and in all of us, is that those self issues, those things, the P word, the thing called pride, the thing called individuality, not personality. God wants you to keep your personality, but that individuality, that self-determination, that self-preservation, that me stuff, the stuff that I kind of want to do. Well, I kind of think this. I kind of want to go this way. I kind of believe that. No. God wants that out. Just trust me, God says. He wants to get something called ego out. I heard, I don't know where I heard it, but I wish I would have invented it myself, but I didn't. The word ego, E-G-O, it means to edge God out. When we edge God out, he wants to get rid of that ego, that self, because we all have it. We all have that pride. We all have that level of me. I want to do this. Even sometimes in contrast to the word of God, and God says, I'm going to send a test of faith to kind of get that out of you, because God says, I can't use that. I could use that brokenness, absolutely. I could use that faith, absolutely. So don't get crazy sometimes when you're going through something. Don't panic. All right, don't panic. The world's not caving in. Don't panic. Just go before God. Say, God, what are you trying to show me in this test right now, God? And God, through it, may I glorify you, God. May I learn that lesson. May I glorify you, God. Lord, build my faith. And sometimes it's really hard. I know that. Sometimes it almost seems impossible. And sometimes we want out, and that's natural. I know that. But maybe, God is really preparing you for something. Oh, I know he is. I know he is. I know he's preparing you for a great work of living faith. I know that. You may not see it yet, but I know that he's working into something wonderful, something glorious to use for the kingdom of God. Yes, you. Not the person you left or right. Yes, you. Yes, you. To do something magnificent with your life. To do something to stand for the kingdom of God with your life. So don't fret when those tests come. You know, I didn't see Abraham, debating God and trying to barter with God. Well, God, you know, when you tested me, you want me to put, Isaac on the altar. How about, I put my two servants on the altar. I don't love them so much. And, sometimes what we do is we hear from God and we know it's God. And sometimes we start debating God. Well, God, I don't know about that one, God. How about plan B, God? How about I'll give you this, but maybe not this, God. And sometimes we debate, we barter with God, we go back and forth. I don't hear Abraham doing that. Maybe he thought something in his mind, but what we read in the scripture is that his response was, yes, Lord. Yes, God. I think he was able to say yes because he already walked with God and he knew his God. He was already in that place to hear from God because he had that intimacy, that relationship. When you're distant from God, it's hard to hear his voice, isn't it? When you're not right with God, it's very hard to hear his voice. When you're rightly related with God, there's where you hear his voice. There's where you hear that voice, those whispers of God. Go this way, do this, do that. When we stand rightly related with God, that's why it's so important. Stay rightly related. Avoid anything that's going to divide you, cause distance between you and your God. Hate division. Hate division. Hate distance. I know so many people that even with ones they love, they're so used to distance in their love relationships. They get so used to just being okay. They get so used to just kind of existing. No, I don't want to exist. I don't want to exist in love relationships with my family. I don't just want to exist in my love relationship with God. I want that zeal and fire to burn, praise God. I want to be exciting, God. I want to be, God, just so filled with you, Lord God. I don't want to settle, God. Don't settle for a walk with God. Don't settle for just getting by with things. No, love fully. Love fully. Love God fully. Love each other fully, praise God. Stop holding back. I'm going to get in that in a second, praise God. Get ahead of myself, amen? The word of God says, so they rose up early. He and the two servants and Isaac, they rose up early. And I love that. I love that. It didn't say they got up about 12 o'clock after they had a full breakfast, had some eggs, killed a goat, and then they started to go. No, he woke up early. What does that mean? He was diligent in what God said to do. He took God serious. He wasn't hanging out, just wavering back and forth. No, God, I take you serious, God. I'm getting up early and doing this thing, God. And it denotes deliberateness. It denotes a taking God serious and wanting to get on with the things of God. And it says that they went to the place that God had for them. I think that's phenomenal. Because if it was me, you know what I would have said? God, no, okay, I still got to talk to you about, you know, putting my son on the altar. But listen, why do I have to go 3 days to Mount Moriah? I mean, there's a little hill right over here. I got the wood. I mean, we're right here, God. We could do it now, God. I mean, why do we got to go 3 days to Mount Moriah and do that? That's what I would have done. Come on, God. I got nice wood right here. It's close to my house. I could, you know, I don't have to travel too far. No. Because sometimes, you know what? Sometimes it's so important to stay in the path that God has for you. It's so important to stay in the path God has for you. Don't look to get off. Don't look for shortcuts. Don't look for an easier way. Sometimes, listen, God has a path for you, a journey for you, in this life for you. Stay on that path. It may be hard, absolutely. It may be crazy, absolutely. It may be lonely, absolutely. But everybody's seeking to get off that path. Well, maybe I know a shortcut. Or maybe, why does it have to be so hard? No, trust God. Stop looking for your own path to get through this thing. Stop trying to find your own way. Stop trying to do what you think you want to do for you. No, trust God's path for you, God's journey for you. Why? He's leading you to some place where he wants you to be. He's leading you to a great use in the kingdom of God. He's leading you to a great blessing, not only for you, but for so many others. And sometimes we want to get off that path. Maybe it gets uncomfortable. Maybe you want to get off the bed. Maybe sometimes we get offended by people and we'd rather go this way when God says go this way. Maybe there's difficult situations in acceptance and belonging, so we want to go this way. No. So many people get thrown off their path so easily when it gets difficult or when it's hard. Especially when I see people get offended. Oh, my Lord. Hey, listen, I got great news for you. Headline news. You ready? You will be offended. All right? And you will be offended probably more than once. You'll be offended probably a whole lot of times in your Christian life. Somebody's going to say something and do something, maybe on purpose, probably not on purpose, it's just how you take it. You will be offended, and you may get mad, and you may get hurt, and you may get angry. Don't you dare get off your course. Don't you get off your course. You stay the course God has you, apply the word of God when you get offended. You forgive, deal with that thing, okay? But so many people get offended. They leave churches and they leave relationships and even leave marriages and leave this and leave ministries. No! Are you crazy? Stay the course. Do what God says. Do what God, pray for that person. Forgive. I'm not excusing bad things people do. Absolutely not. But don't let it change direction in your life. Don't get off course because somebody does something like that. It happens all the time. And sometimes, you know what? We offend too. We offend too, sometimes meaning to, sometimes not meaning to. Don't get moved out of place. Stay in the path of God. So they walk 3 days to this place. They finally get there, the word of God says. And I love Abraham's heart. Where he goes to his two servants and says, hey, listen, guys, Isaac and I, we're going to go up to the mountain. We're going to get the wood. Listen, stay here for a while. Hang out here. We'll be right back. Paraphrasing. We'll be right back. Wait a minute. This is what God said to kill Isaac, put him on the altar. He said, no, we'll be right back. Wow. What do you know, Abraham, that we don't know? He had such faith in God. Why? Because God gave him a promise. Genesis chapter 17, verse 19, God gave him a promise of Mount Isaac that his seed will be the seed of many nations. He had a promise. And he held that promise in here. He held that promise right in here. Does it ever seem sometimes where God gives you a promise, God says something to you, and then as soon as he does, all of a sudden, everything in the world seems to go against that promise. Everything opposite happens to kind of make you think that God was schizophrenic when he said that, but he really didn't mean it. It's like everything turns opposite. You know, God said to give you this promise about maybe your health, and all of a sudden you just get so sick, or maybe he gave you a promise about someone in your family going on with God, and maybe you see them turn against God so deeply. And sometimes what happens is God gives a promise, and After he makes that promise, all the conditions in life change. Situation change. People change. All of a sudden it gets really dark. And you wonder, even some things that come from God seem opposite of what he first said. No. Trust God. Trust the promise of God. Abraham had something in his heart. He didn't know exactly what God was going to do. But he knew somehow, some way, in God's plan, in God's divine providence, somehow, some way, Isaac was going to follow through with that generational promise. And they were both coming down the mountain. Now, he didn't know exactly what it was going to do, but he knew God would keep his promise. And that was so secure for him. We're coming back. We're coming down from that mountain. Such faith. God, whatever you do, God, I know you're going to fulfill your promise. Trust God. Don't doubt. Don't think he's mad at you. Don't think he's busy just with other people. No, if he gave you a promise in his word or spoke a promise to your heart, he's going to fulfill that promise no matter what it looks like, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how far situations and circumstances of your life happen to go against that promise. Trust God. Hold on to that promise. Hold on to faithful word. Don't let that go. Because the devil's going to lie to you. Sometimes even nice meaning people are going to misunderstand that. You hold on to what God said. What promise did God give you? Maybe about you, maybe about your family, maybe about your future. What promise did he speak to in his holy word? You hold on to that. You don't go by how you feel. Don't go by what you see. Don't go by what you think. Go by what God said. And God, I'm holding on to that, God, no matter what. No matter what, God. And Abraham had that in his heart. And he was becoming the father of many nations. And I love that in him. They went to that place and they walked hand in hand together. And Isaac said, where's the lamb? Here's the wood and the knife. Where's the lamb? And Abraham so wonderfully said, God will provide. God will be there. It's okay. God will provide. So they come to the place of God, and Abraham makes an altar. He makes an altar of wood and gets a knife ready and starts to get a little fire going over there for the offering. And all of a sudden, we just read in the Word of God where right as he's about to hold that knife over Isaac, he held that knife, and right about it, maybe when he's about to kind of just kill his son, that word comes from heaven. Abraham, Abraham! Yes, here am I, God. Don't kill him. Don't kill him. God will provide this. Don't kill him. And we know the story. The ram was provided, and we know that. But you know what I love about that? It was never about the death of Isaac. It was never about his death. It was always about Abraham's heart. God wasn't interested in Isaac's death. That wasn't going to happen. That was a test of faith. But what was he after? Abraham's heart. Abraham's faith. Abraham's obedience. He wanted something in Abraham. He wasn't interested in the death of that thing. He was interested in Abraham's heart. And sometimes, my people, listen, it's not so much what God asks you to let go of or kill. It's not so much that. But by letting that thing go and putting that thing on the altar, God wants you to possess something more than you ever had. He wants you to possess something so greatly more than you ever had, to possess Christ, to possess an intimate walk with Christ. See, it's not so much what you let go of, it's what you hold on to. It's not so much what you give up, but what you give up to get in God. And he wanted more richness for Abraham. He wanted such a presence of God in Abraham's life. That's what he wants for you too. See, it's not all about do's and don'ts and I get, no. When God asks you to put something on the altar, when God asks you maybe to put your Isaac on the altar, it's not so much just in the death of that thing, but he wants you to possess him more. He wants you to possess more of Christ. More of him. And the only way you can do that, if you let that thing go. And maybe, I don't know, I know what it is for me. I know what some of my Isaacs are that God wants to just put on the altar and put an end to. How about you? What are maybe those things? Maybe that one thing, I don't know. That you've been carrying around for a while, maybe it's something you love. Maybe it's something that gives you security. Or you think you have some kind of control over situations. Believe me, listen to me. Take it from this wise old man with the gray hair. We don't control anything. You can't control people, places, things. That's a false thing, man. But we try because we're afraid. And sometimes we try to control things because we're afraid that if I don't control it, this is going to happen. So I want to try to control things. Or I'm going to try to control things because I'm afraid that if I don't, these things may happen. Ah, no. And we try to control people, things, situations. We really can't. We end up making it worse after every time we do that. So maybe God is saying today, listen, you got some things in your heart. Say, I want to use you. I want to bless you. I want to grow you. I want to mature you. But there's that something going on inside here that Isaac, I want you to put on the altar. Maybe it's bitterness about a situation that you get so used to carrying that you don't even see it anymore. Sometimes we get so used to carrying that anger, that fear. Sometimes we get so used to carrying some of the pain that we have gone through, some of the grief that we've gone through. And we get so used to carrying it that sometimes we don't realize it's there until God shows us something. Or maybe God allows a situation to arise that shows us what's really in our heart. And maybe God is saying you need to put your pride on the altar. Too much of you right now. There's too much of you in you. You know what I mean by that? There's too much of you in you. You're not allowing God to really break you of self-determination, self-preservation, pride. Maybe that anger, that bitterness, that hardness. And you know what? You've prayed about it and verbally you've forgiven and done all those things, but you've never released the impact of what happened. You've never released the impact of what happened in that situation. And you've forgiven and you said the right words and obeyed the word of God, but in your heart, there's still a weight there. In your heart, there's still just a heaviness somewhere in there, and you're not free yet. We spoke of, sang that song today. I am free. Okay, give it to God. What's that Isaac for you? What's that Isaac for you? I know what it is for me. In these weeks in my life, I know God's been speaking to me about a few things. What's that Isaac for you that God wants you to let go of? Stop trying to really hold on to that thing and really give it to God. And really trust Him with it. That He's a sensitive God. He's a good God. That whatever it may be, you put in His hands, He knows how to be tender. He knows how to love you through it. He knows how to comfort you and give you grace. Is it bitterness? Is it pride? What is it? What is it? Because I know God wants to soften our heart. And I think with Abraham, I think one thing he was trying to do by this whole thing was truly, truly just get at that heart. God, Abraham, give me that Isaac. Give me that Isaac. Give me that Isaac. And when he did, I love what he said in verse 12. Word of God, in Genesis 22, he says, when he says not to kill him, he says, do not stretch out your hand against that and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. He didn't hold back. He gave fully to God. He did not hold back, maybe because of fear or anxiety or whatever. Don't hold back when God says something. Love Him with all your heart. Do it with all your heart. Do it with the fiber of your being. Don't hold back. We get so used to holding back. We get so used to testing the waters, putting our toe in when God says, dive in that thing. Come on, give me everything. Well, I don't know. It seems kind of cold, so we put our toe in. No, jump in. Jump in. Jump in. I love that heart of Jonathan. Remember Jonathan, Saul's son? I mean, that one day when he was walking with his servant, and they were being attacked by the Philistine army, and Saul was kind of afraid with his 600 soldiers, people hiding in cliffs and hills. Here's Jonathan being led by, I believe, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, coming past his garrison of maybe, I don't know, maybe the probably about maybe 60 to 100 guys. And what does he say? He walks past him, and I'm paraphrasing the story. He walks past him, and he says, we can get these guys. Now, him and his servant didn't have a sword. There was no swords in the land. They had to kill a guy to get a sword for the servant. But he says, listen, we can do this. We can, look at the 60, we can do this. God can save by many. God can save by few. As long as it's God, we're going to go attack that garrison. So here they come. They get the signal from the garrison, and Jonathan gets his sword and starts going. He kills a guy, gets a sword, puts in the servant, and they put the army to rout. Two guys who had the heart of God, who were led by God, who knew that with God there's no provision for defeat, who did it with all their heart. And when they did it with all their heart, it was catching. Saul and his soldiers saw it. They got motivated. They started to put the chase on the Philistines. People started to come out of the graves and hills and holes they were hiding. They started to chase the Philistines. God's looking for somebody who's willing to give him everything. God's willing to use you to bless so many people when you obey God with all your heart. Abraham, you didn't hold back, Abraham. You gave me everything, Abraham. Not knowing exactly what was going to happen, but you trusted me. And you gave me your whole heart. Oh, my people, listen to me. Don't hold back. If you know it's God, you know what his word says. Don't hold back. Love him. Obey him. Do what he says. Give with all your heart. Serve with all your heart. Live with all your heart. Live with everything that you have. These days are short. Live with all your heart. Best you know. Best you know. And God, I'm going to give my all to you, God. And I may know not everything what that means, God. And I may have some Isaacs in me, God, that I know you want to deal with, God. But God, I want to give you all my heart. I truly want to give you all my heart. All my heart, Lord God. All my heart. You know what's so amazing? I've heard this before. That we don't get to choose our Isaacs. God does. God does. It was up to me. I give God the little stuff. Okay, God, take this. One time we were fasting in our church. I had a 3-day fast. And I would go up to people and I would say, well, what are you fasting? And a person came and said, well, I'm fasting coconut milk. And I said, well, that's good. It says, well, do you like coconut milk? It says, no, I never drink it. See, that's the stuff that makes you go like that. No, I got to fast something that's important to you. You can't fast how can you fast what you don't have, what you don't use? So, but getting back to the story is that we don't choose those Isaacs. God does. So maybe what's he pointing to you today? Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's pain. Maybe it's grief. I don't know. I know he loves you. I know he wants to use you. I know he wants to build that faith in you. I know that. But as I close in verse 15, here comes the blessing. Look at this. It says, when the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven, and the angel said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, not hold back. Look at the blessing. Indeed, I will greatly bless you. That's the first thing. I will greatly bless you. I'll take care of you. I got you. It's going to be okay. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to answer every promise. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry about anything. I got you covered, God says. But even more, I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Can I have the keyboard player come back up if you could do that, whoever that is? Thank you so much. If you could just play in the background because I want to pray for you. I just want to end with this right now. Look what he says. So I'm going to bless you, so don't worry about that. Because you've done this and not withheld your son and put that Isaac, that thing you left most on the altar, that you were willing to give that to me, I'm going to bless you, but I'm also going to bless your seed. I'm also going to bless future generations. Now, people, listen, man, I really want you to get this. It's so important. It's never just about us. Yes, God will bless you, of course. He loves you. He'll take care of you. He'll answer prayer. I mean, you're his. He loves you. But I don't want to stay there. So I don't want to live my Christian life just being blessed. Well, though that's nice, I love that. I don't want to keep it there. There's got to be something in the Christian DNA. There's got to be something in a believer's heart through the presence of God, through the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, not only do I want to be blessed, use me, God, to bless. God, use my life. Use my faith that you're growing in me like Abraham, God. Use me, God, to be a light in a dark place, God. Use me to bless future even generations, God. Use me, God, as a blessing in these cold, dark days where there's so much fear and loneliness and hurt and anger and pain and fear. Who's God going to use? If he wants to send angels, he will. I don't think so. He's going to send me and you. But there's got to be something in us. There's got to be a cry, part of who we are as believers in Christ, because we have his spirit that says, God, it's not just about me, God. Use my life, God. I give myself away, God. Use my life to bless, God, whoever you put me in front of, God, that in my life they will see the light of Jesus Christ. in my life, God, they will see faith. Let me be that witness, God. Let me be that burning light, God. Let me be that heart of God that when I speak, God, people see you. When I act, God, in faith, people see you, God. So, God, use me to bless. That's got to be in us. If that's not in us, then we got to go back to the Christian drawing board and get saved all over again. God, use me to bless. And that's what Abraham did. Through this act of faith, he became the father of many nations, and you were his descendants would be blessed, and his seed would possess the gate of his enemies. That his seed, his people, would walk in authority and victory. Would walk in authority and victory. Why? Because one guy stood. One guy had faith. One guy allowed him, God, to take that Isaac. And he possessed Christ like he never possessed him before. Three times. You can read this later. I'm going to close right here. In verse 1, when Abraham spoke to the angel, he said, "Here I am." In verse 7, when Isaac spoke to him about going up the hill, he said, "Here I am, Isaac." And in verse 11, when the angel again spoke to him about not killing Isaac, he said, "Here I am." Know that phrase, "here I am," literally means it denotes a yielding and surrender and submission to God and his will to sacrifice in order to possess Christ and bless others. Here I am. Here I am, God. Here I am. And all that we have today, and all our busyness and schedules and demands and everything going on in life, can we say today, "Hey, Lord, here I am. Use me. I give up my Isaacs, God. I don't want to hold on to him if you ask me to let him go, God. Use me, God. I know I'll be blessed, yes, God. But use me to bless." And you know where it starts? Right here. It starts right now. Look around you. Everybody just look around you. Just look around. It starts with who you see right now. It starts right now. Let me be a blessing. Let me be a blessing. Let me be a blessing. Lord, here I am. So I just want to pray for you right now. You may be going through a trial of faith. You may be going through a testing of faith. Maybe God is pointing someone new that to give up an Isaac. Whatever it may be, I want us to say together, or can you say, "Lord, here I am. I want to give you these things of my heart, God. I don't want to hold back, God. I don't want to play games. I don't want to go through the motions, God. God, as best of my ability, by the leading of the Holy Ghost, God, I give you my Isaacs. I give you what I've been holding on to that you've been asking me to let go of, God, in order to have more of you, in order to possess you more, Jesus. And knowing that, not only will I be blessed, God, I know that, but God, you use me, my life, to bless people, to bring them to you, God. That's what it's all about. He loves you. Can we say today, here I am, here I am." And I just want to pray for you. If that's you, if you're going through a trial of faith right now, if you're going through a tough time right now, if you know that maybe God is pointing to some Isaacs in your life that he really wants you to give over to him, I want to open up these altars right now. You simply get out of your seat and come forward, and we will pray that today in Jesus' name. Just come forward. We will pray. We will pray. God, I know that you're asking me to let this go or that go, whatever it may be, God. God, I want to be a blessing to others, God. I just don't want to be about me, God. I want to sacrifice my life for others, God. Use me, God. And it starts today, Lord Jesus. And some of you here need a healing also. It has been painful. It's been hard. It's been painful. God, just touch me today, God. Let's just stay in his presence just for a few moments, and then I'm going to pray. But just let the Spirit do his work right now. Bring that thing to him. Bring your eyes to him. Say, "God, take it. Take it, God. I don't want to hold back, God. So I say to you today, here I am. Here I am." Let's just stay as we hear the music. Let the Spirit do what he wants to do right now. We'll pray in a minute. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we love you. We love you. And Lord, I thank you, God, for your word, Lord Jesus, that always apprehends our heart, always goes deep, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for how much you love us. And Lord, I ask today, God, that myself and those here today, God, can simply cry out and say, here am I, Lord God. And Lord, that means we surrender, God. We submit to you, God. We yield to your will, your ways. Yield everything. And Lord God, maybe a lot of us have these Isaacs in us, God. These things that you're asking us to let go of and put on the altar, God. So we could possess you, to have more of you, Lord Jesus. So Lord, I ask, Holy Spirit, help us right now to bring these Isaacs to you, God. Whether it's bitterness or pain or sorrow or pride or anger, whatever it may be, God. Lord, we need your help with that, God. Because sometimes, God, we hold on to these things, God. Sometimes we're afraid to let our pain go, God. We're afraid, God, to even let that bitterness go, God, for we hold on to things we should never, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for hope today. Thank you, God, as we give these Isaacs to you right now, Lord Jesus. You take them, Lord God. And Father, we possess something even greater right now, Lord Jesus. More of you. More of you, Lord Jesus. More of who you are in our lives, God. Intimacy like we've not known before, Lord Jesus. A deeper walk like we've not known before, Lord God. And Father, I know that you will bless us. I know that, God. But Lord Jesus, we know it's not just about us and leave it at that, God. Father, there's so many, God, in this world around us, even here in school, Lord God, that are broken and hurting, God. Maybe have doubts and unbelief, God. Maybe going through hell right now, Lord God. Whether it be family or health or whatever situations, God. Father, help us not to fall prey to the daily exchanges, God. Help us not to fall prey to the daily routine, God. But help us see each other differently, Lord God. To see the need, God. To see the heart, Lord Jesus. And to truly be there for each other, Lord God. Oh God, that's where you live, Lord Jesus. And that's where the true blessing is, Lord God. So God, just like Abraham, God, use us to bless others, God. As we yield those Isaacs to you, God. As we let go of what you want to let go of, God. Father, thank you, God, for blessing us and taking care of us, God. Holy Spirit, help us to release the Isaacs right now, God. Give it to you, God. Anger. Oh, especially anger, God, deep inside of us, God. Pride, Lord Jesus. That ego, God. Father, help us let go of grief and sorrow, God. Oh, God, that hidden weight inside of our hearts, Lord Jesus. Help us let go of pain and sorrow, Lord God. And to know that you comfort us, God. And you hold us through it, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let go of bitterness, Lord Jesus. Doubt, unbelief, Lord God. And Father, as we let that go, God, Father, thank you right now. Just for so touching us, God, with who you are. God, sometimes you don't provide all the answers that we need, but you always, always show us who you are. You always show us who you are. Thank you for showing us today who you are. A loving, faithful God. God, thank you for the victory today, God. Thank you we walk differently today, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We walk anew today, God. And Lord, I just ask as I close right now, God, let every single one here know, God, how much you love them. How much you so love them. And let that love be their strength, be their hope, and be their life. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing today. Amen.